beautiful song and a wondrous truth. Amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1, where we'll start with. Also looking in Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read the accounts, just the accounts of the birth of our Lord. Amen. I mentioned this morning that I was staying with our theme that we've been preaching on Sunday mornings, particularly, and a little bit on Sunday nights, but on the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight I was going to try to say a few words about Christmas, and I'll say some things about that. But in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18, and then we'll read to the end of the chapter and then go to Luke chapter 2. I'll read only two verses in Luke, and we could read quite a bit in this, but I'll just read these verses that I know are very familiar to you. Verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Well, I love that phrase. "For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Amen. Luke chapter number 2. Verses 10 and 11. These angels reporting to the shepherds on the hillside. Verse number 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want to try to focus on the thought of that little baby. I'm titled my message, "A Baby Born in Bethlehem," and focus on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that Jesus came into this world.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you came into the world through the virgin's womb.
Yes.
And thank you, Lord, so much for what you've done for us and being with us, delivering us from sin, saving us by your grace. Truly, Lord, when Christ came into the world, God was in Christ reconciled.
Yes, thank you.
I pray that you reconcile sinners tonight. You call the lost unto yourself to not be saved. Do a good work. Bless the pastor, the preacher, the believers. Help those tonight, Lord, that may be out and away from us.
Yes.
Divine grace and stir our hearts and carry us, I pray, back to that glorious day. Yes. Heaven opened, Jesus came into this world. Thank you for it, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, we're celebrating the birthday of a king. Okay, thank you. There we go. We're celebrating the birthday of the king. I don't know exactly what day that he was born. If it was December 25th, I don't have any reason to argue. I don't know. He's like a former president we had. We haven't seen the birth certificate. We don't know exactly where and when he was born. But the as far as the birthday, what day that is not so much important. The important thing is that we're recognizing that God did give his son. That's really what it's all about. that God did give His Son and that His Son came into the world to save sinners. I appreciate this time of year for several reasons. I know it gets material. I know things get bad. But I was in Kroger last night, late last night, picking up a few things Melissa asked me to get. And, of course, I'm the one eats it all. But anyway, she asked me to pick that stuff up. But I'm in Kroger's and they were playing it wasn't just something like Jingle Bells or Dreaming of a White Christmas. They was playing a gospel Christmas song. Praise God. Amen. And you say, well, they probably wasn't anybody paying any attention. I don't know if they was or not. I noticed it. It stood out to me. I thought, is that WSOF? And then the way they're singing it wasn't exactly the way we would be airing it being sung, but it was still. And I appreciate the fact that they are recognizing it. People put up these signs, talk about remember Jesus is the reason for the season, or keep Christ in Christmas, and on and on and on it goes, and things like that. I know people get excited about the make-believe story of Christmas. We're not excited about a fable or a fairy tale or a fraud or a fake. We're excited about the real thing. God gave His Son. Amen. And it doesn't get any better than that, to be honest with you. We don't need to add. We don't need to embellish. It doesn't get any better than the fact that God gave His Son, that Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. And I notice again back in our text of Matthew, I notice the wording and how the Bible is very specific. And Brother Oliver B. Green was preaching this week about and using that idea about the wording. Look, if you will, again in Matthew chapter number 1. And of course we started verse 18, but he's talking about here about the fact that Christ, this is the way it was born. Mary was espoused to Joseph, verse number 18. They were not married yet, they had an espousal period, we would call it an engagement period, but in the Jewish tradition, that was more binding than our engagements are. Matter of fact, he already called her wife, she already called him husband, and they're called that in this text. He's called her husband, although they're not married yet. She's called his wife, although they are not married yet. They've not come together. And when it says they hadn't known one another, didn't mean he didn't know who she was, she didn't know who he was. It's the Bible way of saying that they had been pure and they had not come together in marital relations because they were not yet married. All right? You following where I'm at? But they had this covenant made. They had this agreement made that they were going to be married. So she's found with child. And verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was going to send her off and give her that bill of divorcement, as Moses had said, that could be done in the espousal period, and send her away. But the Bible said while he was thinking on that, the Lord spoke to him, the angel Lord spoke to him in a dream, told him it'd be all right to go ahead and take her, because what that baby in her was not some illegitimate child. That baby in her is the child of the Holy Ghost. It is conceived of the Holy Ghost, it says. Amen. Now, look at verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son. She's going to bring him forth. And thou shalt call his name. He's going to name him. She's going to give him birth. He's going to name him. But God not only put the baby in her womb, God put the name on his lips. You're going to call him Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, it goes in the prophecy, and then verse number 24, by the way, the prophecy of Isaiah that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. I know that I did hear Brother Ballou making the reference that some translations leave out the word virgin. They say a young woman. Well, young women have babies all the time, but virgins don't. Wouldn't be anything miraculous for a young woman to have a baby, but it's miraculous for a virgin to have a baby. And this was a miracle, and that's exactly what it was. Amen. But verse number 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and look at verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth, it does not say their firstborn son. It says her firstborn son. Because that's real clear. And the way Brother Green described it, he said if something happened, his wife died, he married another woman, and that woman already had a son. He said if we were walking together somewhere, they would say, there goes Oliver and Mrs. Green and her son. He said, you know, that's not my son. That's her son. Right. And the scriptures are clear. This is not the son of Joseph.
Right.
Amen. He is the son of Mary, but it's because he is the son of God, brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. So we're celebrating the birthday of a king. God gave his son, and Christ was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem has a great story. I'm not going to go into that, but you know that it is, and this is a well-known story. This story of Christmas, we've heard it and heard it and heard it, but I'm telling you, it still blesses me to hear it again. Amen. And it helps me to rejoice and think about this old story, amen, about how God gave His Son. I want to, tonight, to point out some points. This message is not a refurbished message that I've preached before. I don't know that I've heard messages down this line. It's thoughts that I feel like the Lord allowed me to think and helped me to put together. And I would like to think on some thoughts tonight and guide you into thinking on some things that might be a blessing. I said this morning, if you were planning to conquer the world, you'd enlist a soldier, not a baby. But God conquered the world of sin with a baby. Amen. And I want to think about that baby born in Bethlehem. I just got four short points, and then we'll be on our way. First of all, I want to say this. Babies are special. Amen. Babies are loved and appreciated. We, at the nursing home, and you've seen it before, you go somewhere like that, and this last time, Miss Elizabeth not only had Lindsay with her, but she had the baby with her. We had Landon there. And a lot of those folks looking right past every one of us. I mean, we're the ones that drove there. We're the ones that came to sing. We're the ones going to go around and shake their hand. They're not looking at us. They're looking at the children, because children are precious. Amen. Amen. I know what it's like to go see my mom and dad and them look right past me and say, come here, darling, they ain't talking to me. Now I get to do that to my kids. Amen. Mom and dad spoiled them, it's my turn to spoil the next generation. Amen. But seriously, the children are precious, but children have a story to tell. Here's a thought of thought. When a baby comes into the world, it causes us to think about certain things. First of all, when a baby's born, there's a known fact there must be a father somewhere. That father may be out of the picture. That father may not be there. You may not know his name. You may not know who he is. You may not know anything about him. But if there's a baby there, you know there's a father somewhere. Amen. That's what Christ came for, was to reveal to us the Father. That's what the Bible says. If you're in Matthew 1, turn over to Matthew 11, just a few pages over. Matthew chapter number 11. Our Lord makes this statement in verse number 17. Nope, I wrote that down wrong. That's not Matthew 11, 17. I don't know where it's at. Let's see if I can see it in here. Well, I got my numbers wrong. I should have used Roman numerals. I'll read you the verse that I got down here anyway. I don't know what the scripture reference is. But our Lord said these words, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. 11:27. Thank you, brother. There you go. That's it. 11:27. I'll help you with Roman numerals. You help me with English numbers. Oh, thank you. We'll tag team this thing. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Look at this phrase. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Amen. Mark states that same statement. It's almost word for word the same statement that is made. But Jesus said, nobody's seen the Father but me.
Right.
You can't see God and live. But Christ did, and Christ came to reveal the Father. And He said that the only way you're going to see the Father is if the Son reveals Him to you. You can't get to God, the Father, without coming through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Text I've been using on the radio now for a number of weeks. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 16, the Apostle Paul pens these words, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Here's my phrase, "God was manifest in the flesh." That is, Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem is God manifest, revealed, showed, made known to us. In the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Amen. And so, He's telling us that God came. Turn back to John chapter 14. I'm sure you know this text. John 14, our Lord's getting ready to leave. He's told His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's telling them He's getting ready to move out of the way, and apparently they are troubled. Even though He told them not to be, these things are troubling them. And Thomas has a question that he asks in there in verse number 5. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Lord, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? We don't know. And how can we know the way? Jesus answered that in verse number 6. And I read down through verse number 9. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man," boy, underline this, "no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Amen. And so our Lord is saying to them, He came, Christ came, to reveal the Father to us. When you see a baby, you know there's a dad somewhere. Especially if he looks a lot like him. Little Landon over there looks like a clean shaven, well fed Jacob Rickard. Amen. Miniature. He looks like his grandfather and his great grandfather. I mean, you see all that as things go through, and you see the different sides of them and all that. But that reveals that there's a Father. Christ came to reveal us the Father. Now, He does not only want us to know there is one; He wants us to know Him. He wants us to get to know Him. I said, you know there is a Father. You don't necessarily know who it is, or you might not know His name. God, Christ wants us to know the Father. Amen. Second thing that a baby reveals, especially one that when the pregnancy is known out of wedlock, is it reveals sin. Amen. It reveals sin. Mary was found with child before her and Joseph came together, is what it says there in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So it started becoming evident. What was making it evident? That there was a child in her womb. The child was, as the child grew, she grew along with it. Amen. And so it became evident that there was a pregnancy, if we can use that word that way, all right? So this birth was not the result of sin. Jesus had no relationship there with sin. Jesus came in here sinless and perfect. Mary had not sinned in this case that had caused this child. Joseph had not sinned in this case that caused this child. That's not what I'm talking about. But when a child comes along, or a pregnancy is known before there's a marriage, you know, whether you know exactly the details, you know there's sin involved. That's known in the Bible as the sin of fornication. Amen. It's the sin of fornication. Now, I realize that today it's not looked upon very strangely. It's pretty well common. It's almost like it's expected in our society now. Amen. But the Bible still views it as a very sinful thing. Matter of fact, it's the only sin the Bible says is not only a sin against God and not only a sin against humanity, but it's a sin against your own body is what the Bible says it is. The sin of fornication. And so there's things that come along with that. We recognize that that child is many times called an illegitimate child. I don't particularly like that term. I've said it before because the child's not illegitimate. It's the parents that are illegitimate. Really? That child couldn't help it. That child is just as legitimately a child. He does have a mother and he does have a father. Amen. They say, well, he's born without a father. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was born without his mother having a husband. Amen. So it's not his fault. It's the parents that are illegitimate because they have acted in an illegal, unlawful. They're not bound together in the bonds of holy matrimony. I know it's not unlawful in our society anymore, but God's law still standing true. Amen. So it's the parents that are illegitimate. They don't have the right to be parents. That child has the right to be a child. They don't have the right to be parents because they're not married yet. Matter of fact, I think that the Pharisees alluded to Christ being born of fornication in John chapter 8. I know I've looked at this before with you, but at John chapter 8 and verse 41, I think they make a snide remark to our Lord when he tells them they're of their father, the devil, and the lust of their father they'll do. The fact that they're not Abraham's children, he makes that reference to them. In verse number 41 of John chapter 8, I'll go back to verse 40. He said, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So he said, if you was Abraham's children, you'd do what Abraham did. Abraham wouldn't seek to kill me. All right. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. So he's referring to the fact you're not of Abraham. Who are you? You're of the devil. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. I think right there that they are making a snide remark and referencing the fact that Christ's mother was found with child before she was married. And I think they're alluding to the fact that he had a sinful birth. But it's not true. He did not have a sinful birth because that child was not conceived by an illegitimate relationship. That child was conceived by the workings of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. There was no sin in the birth of Jesus Christ. But the birth of Jesus Christ was here because there was sin in the world. He not only came to reveal to us the Father, He came to redeem us from sin. Amen. Sin is in the world. Sin has been in the world. And it has been passed down and promulgated and promoted and even it seems like built up. They're thinking of new things now to do that we never even entered into a logical mind a person to do. People are sinning in such ways today. And yet our Lord came to put away sin. Amen. John chapter 1. John, you know the scripture there. John the Baptist standing on the riverbank. And he sees the Lord. John chapter 1 verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus came not only to point us to the fact we're sinners, but to relieve us from that fact, to redeem us from that fact. Amen. He's revealing the Father and He's redeeming us from sin. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. There's another verse. We use this one quite often as well. Hebrews chapter 9 verse number 26. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 26. He's talking about the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Amen. That baby born in Bethlehem came to be a lamb slain for our sins. He came to be a lamb that would carry away and his blood would wash away and cover our sins. Amen. Amen. Not only does a baby point to the fact that there's a father somewhere, a pregnancy that is known before marriage points to sin, but a baby also points to innocence. Innocence. I mentioned about Miss Elizabeth having Landon at the nursing home. The last nurse, when we was leaving, there was three women out there. Y'all remember that? Out there by the door, three women, and there's just, oh, ain't he handsome? Oh, ain't he some? Oh, he's adorable! Carrying on and on and on. They heard us singing, Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him, and they thought we were talking about Landon. I don't know the ladies. I don't know that they know them. That's what babies have, that personality. They have that ability to get people to just ooh and ah over them. It'll make people with college degrees talk like babbling idiots. Amen. What is it that's about that child? It is the innocence of that child. Landon wasn't saying, y'all bow to me. He probably will one day when he gets a little older, if he's like his daddy. No, but he wasn't saying, but they was, you know, he's in his innocence. They're just honoring him and oohing and awing over him. But here's the thing. When babies are pure, babies are innocent. They've never cursed. They've never lied. I know they start that very soon. The Bible talks about coming from the womb, speaking lies. And I think that deals with the fact they cry and make you think the world's coming to an end when all they just lost their pacifier. Different things that they do, but they've never cheated, they've never stolen, they've never committed adultery, they've never sinned against God. They're innocent, little innocent creatures. They're not sly, they're not conniving, they're not two-faced. Amen. I'll give you another illustration. This afternoon we stayed and ate with them and after the service, and Miss Stephanie was taking Gracie to take a nap. She said, Tell Daddy good night. And she said, night night. And Melissa said, Gracie, you gonna come give me a night night hug? And Gracie said, nope. And just shut the door and went on in there. She does like Melissa does when she's ready for bed. Just leave me alone. I'm going to bed. Amen. But she wasn't hypocritical about it. She just said, nope, I ain't interested. And went on. That's how children have an innocence about them that really, to be honest with you, is refreshing in a world that has very little innocence.
Right.
Matter of fact, I really believe that's one reason why perverts like to prey on innocence. Because they have such a twisted, such a guilty life that I believe they may even be have a little bit of condemnation within themselves that there is something innocent and they want to wreck and mar anything that is innocent. The devil's that way, by the way. The devil can't stand for something to be pure.
Right.
He wants to do his best to wreck it and mess it up. Amen. But I'm talking about this baby being innocent. If a baby, and go back to using Landon for an illustration, as little as he is, if a baby pulls your hair, it's not because he hates you. It's not because he's mad at you. It's not because he's jealous of you. It's an innocent thing that happens. He did it because he's a baby and they're just grabbing and pulling. If a baby spits up all over you, it's not because they're trying to get even with you for feeding them green beans. It's because they're innocent. Those things happen. There's no ulterior motive in what they're doing is what I'm saying. They're innocent. But, I'll say this, they quickly grow out of that innocence. Babies do. Amen. Jesus did not. Amen. Jesus never did one thing that wasn't innocent. Jesus never had one thought that wasn't innocent. Jesus never said one word that wasn't innocent. He was innocent from birth all the way through. Matter of fact, from before the foundation of the world, He was innocent. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Amen. That's what Jesus is and was. Amen. He did not grow out of His innocence. He never sinned one time. He was continually sinless, spotless, undefiled. Amen. And amen. And yet, He came to take on our sin. He came to take on our guilt upon Himself. If you would turn back to Isaiah chapter 53, that great chapter of Isaiah. I'd love to read the whole thing, but I'll just read three verses. I'll pick out three verses. And I'll show you some other scriptures along these lines as well. Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, here it is, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Amen. He had no sin of His own, but He took mine and yours. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. If you would turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Talking about what God did and God reconciled. And matter of fact, what Brother Hall said in his prayer, quoted in his prayer, verse number 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. By the way, you know that's not saying that we knew no sin, but it's saying Him that knew no sin. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, all right? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. A baby shows us innocence, and this baby born at Bethlehem was an innocent babe and was innocent throughout his life, but he came not because of sin in Mary's life or sin in Joseph's life specifically, but he came because of sin in your life, in my life. He came because there was sin in the world and somebody had to take it away. He was willing to be that one. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 2. I love the way Hebrews states it. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. By the way, not that He was lower than the angels. He was high above the angels, but He was made a little lower when He took on the body of flesh. Talk about this thing of being a human. A little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Amen and amen. Why did Christ come? Why was that baby born in Bethlehem? The song that they sing, He was born to die. He came for the purpose to go to Calvary and pay for our sins. Amen. Now turn backwards to Romans chapter number 5, that great fifth chapter of the great book of Romans. I'll pick up at verse 6. Again, there's a lot of verses I'd like to read on it. But verse number 6 of Romans chapter 5, and read down through verse number 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not one of us was good. Christ died for us. Amen. There are some people who would die for a good man. Thank God for men that lay down their lives for the sake of other men. I'm thinking of men on the battlefield that, for example, jump in the line of fire or jump on a live grenade or whatever the case is, that they give their life to spare the lives of others. But Christ didn't just do it for good men.
He did it knowing there was no good man.
Right.
He did it for the worst. Amen. Verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Amen. Christ came as a baby to point to us the fact there's a Father and to reveal the Father. Christ came to the world because of sin and He came to redeem us from sin. Christ came as a baby to show us innocence and He lived that perfectly innocent life throughout His entire life that He, by the grace of God, could taste death for every man. If He'd sinned, somebody would have had to die for Him. Or He'd have had to die for Himself. But that didn't happen. He never sinned. Amen. Not only, my last point, not only does a baby point to the fact there's a father, a pregnancy before marriage points to sin, and a baby also points to innocence, especially this baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, this baby points to omnipotent power. I go back to the statement I made at the beginning of this message and alluded to this morning, that if you're going to conquer the world, you wouldn't pick a baby to conquer the world with. But God did. God did. God chose the weak things of the world, yea, even the foolish things of the world, to confound and to put at naught the mighty and the wise. Amen. God chose by His great power, and matter of fact, let me say it this way, God chose to reveal His great power by starting out in a little town called Bethlehem, in a little stable, in the midst of nowhere, with a baby. Who would have thought, as one song talks about, who would think that this would be the power of God? Turn with me to Colossians chapter number 2. And I'll read you 3 verses, and I'm going to finish up with this. The omnipotent power that is shown by God choosing this baby, choosing to come as this baby. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So He's talking to Gentiles. Hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How did He forgive us all those trespasses? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Look at this. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly. Underline that phrase. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. Christ saved us and Christ forgave us from all trespasses, as verse 13 says. How did He do that? He did it by taking it out of the way and nailing it to His cross, as it says in verse number 14. And having done all that, He made a fool out of the devil. Amen. He openly made a show. Amen. Of the devil. He showed the omnipotent power of God. I remember when there was a giant, a champion of the Philistines that had been a champion since his birth. I don't know how old he was on this day that we read about him, but he, from his youth, he'd been a champion. He'd probably never lost a battle. He, no doubt in my mind, he had been victorious time after time after time after time after time. And for 40 days, morning and evening, For 80 times he had defied the whole army of Israel, and they were shaking and quaking in their boots. He was saying, send me out a champion and I'll fight with him. But nobody was ready, willing, or able to stand and fight him. But a little boy that had been born in Bethlehem came and faced that giant and took that giant down by the power of God. Amen. And that represents to us the devil for all those years had mocked mankind and had held mankind in his throes and in his fear, and man shaking in his boots, afraid of death and afraid of destruction because of the devil. But a little baby that was born in Bethlehem, amen, defeated the whole thing by the power of God. Amen. I ask you a question. If the devil's so big and powerful, and by the way, he is related to me and related to you, he is big and powerful, but related to God, he's not all that powerful. If the devil's as big as he wants us to think he is, how hard would it have been for him to have stomped a little baby? But he couldn't do it. He tried to do it. He killed a bunch of babies. Had Herod kill them? Amen. He had Herod kill them. Why? Trying to put a stop to this son, this child being born that would come to the king. That was the whole idea, that this child was going to be king one of these days. And by the way, he is still going to be king. And one of these days, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess, including old Slewfoot. Amen. They're going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. The devil's prancing around in his power, walking about to and fro, as a roaring lion. He'd have you think that, buddy, he is a champion, but he's not. He's a whooped lion. And I'm not saying that there's not things he can do. I guess I scared Landon to death using him as illustration. It's not that the devil, I don't want you to think that I'm saying that the devil doesn't have any power, but I'm saying that Jesus Christ has all power. Our Lord said just as much, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. The devil could not stop him when he was a tiny little baby. Why? Because that baby was not just any mortal. That baby was the very Son of God. We're going to celebrate Christmas tomorrow. We're going to relish in the fact that God gave His Son. I want to tell you something. The next time the devil tries to make you believe that there's no hope for your loved ones, point him back to that baby, lay it in that manger, and remind him he couldn't stop him then, and he can't stop him now. The next time the devil tells you there's no hope for you, you can't live for God, you can't overcome, there's no way you can do it, point him back to that little baby laying in a manger. If he couldn't stop him then, he can't stop him now. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He is Lord. I'm back in Luke chapter number 2, the text that we started with. Luke chapter 2, and I'll be quitting. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not. You don't have to be afraid of all this. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Thank God it's not just to the Jews, it's to the Gentiles too. It's not just to the Baptists, it's to all the other religions too. It's to those that don't even have a religion. It's good news if they'll come to God by Christ Jesus. Amen. Good news which shall be to all people. Verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I think I pointed this out one time before. It does not say unto you is born this day a baby. Because even in that little, small package, he was already a Savior. Before ever that Mary held him in her arms, he was already a Savior. Matter of fact, she said as much when she's talking to Elizabeth and what's known, you know, that great adoration statement that she makes in there, that triumphant station, a statement that's similar to what Hannah said in Hannah's prayer back in 1 Samuel. Mary goes through all that and she talks about God, my Savior. Amen. He hadn't even been born yet, but He's already a Savior. Because before the foundation of the world, He was as a lamb having already been slain. But thank God, God didn't just promise him and God didn't just point back to him in prophecy. He came.
Yes,
God fulfilled his promise and he'll keep every promise that he ever made. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come with a song, Father, I love you. Thank you for the thoughts that you've given us to think on. What these babies represent. And especially what this baby represents. This baby, Christ Jesus, born in Bethlehem, represents to us and reveals to us the Father. God, we'd never know you. We'd never be able to pray our Father, which art in heaven, if it hadn't been that your Son came to bring us into the family, to bring in more sons by your grace. I thank you for it. Christ came not in sin, but he came because of sin, that he might remove us from our sin, that he might redeem us from our sin, that he might rescue us from our sin. Father, he came as an innocent child, and he never sinned. Oh, it'd be a blessing if we could say that we're still as innocent as we were the day we were born, but we're not. But he is. I want to thank you for that. And yet, he shows us the omnipotent power of God. Lord, if there be somebody under the sound of our voice tonight, whether it be over the radio airwaves or whether it be right here in this sanctuary, somebody that's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, somebody that's never come to that place of recognizing how great thou art, Lord, I pray today would be that day that you'd show forth your power to them, that you would humble them under your mighty touch. Dear God, you draw them to your side that they too might be saved, that their sins might be forgiven, that they might recognize that Christ tasted death for them as well. Have your way, Lord, in the invitation time, and please get the glory we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Whatever He says do, you do it while we sing.